You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. A big game tomorrow. Big show today. I'm hoping to get Salim Stoudemire on the phone here. He's in town for the Lute Olson Fantasy Camp. Saw him earlier, and I was hoping to get maybe 5-10 minutes with him on the phone before he goes out and joins the other campers tonight. And then at 5:40, we're going to talk to former U of A football player Jake Fisher at 5:40 to talk about the UA football game tomorrow. And what he's up to now, his career, things like that. I haven't had Jake on the show, although he and I were partners on a show called The Sports Guys, which of course we still have. And Jake's up in Phoenix now. A surprise move to me, although he's a big entrepreneur in the insurance business, working for a group up there. We'll talk about that as we move forward here. And then at 6:00, I'm hoping to get one of the listeners that we have in regularly. Poncho is in town, so I said, hey, you call a lot, we talk a lot, why not come on the show and come into the studio, and we'll have a little fun talking about UA sports as we usually do. So Poncho will be interesting. If you'd like to call in, please do, 790-2040. I don't anticipate Salim being on the phone all that long, so I want to get in some quick questions. Saw him today at the camp, and he looked as sharp as ever. There were two times when we were taping him, and he didn't miss after numerous shots. But people who know Salim know that he doesn't miss. He hasn't missed in a long time, especially when he was here, when he was arguably the best shooter in college basketball during the mid-2000s, 2005, 2006. So many of you guys will remember that he was that guy. He flew in from Atlanta last night. Was attended last night's dinner, and he was coaching today. And now we have him on the phone. Salim Stoudemire, how are you? Thanks for joining me on my show.
I'm doing well, and I'm happy to be on your show.
Great, Salim. Hey,
how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. When was the last time you were in Tucson?
The last time I was in Tucson was when my cousin Damon was coaching.
Oh, okay.
So I want to say, it's been about 5 years.
About 5 years. Okay. Nothing's changed. Let me tell you, they have not found a shooter since you. You're the best shooter. No one, they can't find another you. Why is that? Are high school kids not shooting like you do?
I can't speak on other kids, but from what I've witnessed, I would have to say that the fundamentals are lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of these kids just mimic and kind of copy whatever's hot on TV,
mm-hmm.
instead of figuring out what works for them and then kind of just mastering, you know, the foundation that they know that fits them instead of others.
Do you see more kids trying to be Stephon Curry?
I just didn't want to say that off the bat, but absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You're 100% correct.
Not a good thing? A good thing?
If you have the same makeup as he does,
mm-hmm.
and not a lot of kids do. So he can be good as a model, but you have to translate what he does in your own unique way.
Yeah.
So that you can still be an individual instead of just trying to copy and paste, which I hate.
Well, I think a lot of kids 10 years ago, or almost, 14? How you been gone 14 years probably, wanted to be Salim Stoudemire, a guy who didn't miss when he played. Did you see that too, maybe back in the day?
As far as what?
Kids trying to be be that sharpshooter guy?
I have no idea, because I never put myself on a pedestal or thought I was great, or, you know,
yeah.
I was just trying to be the best that I can be.
Right, right, right.
I didn't really, you know, I wasn't really focused on what people were thinking about me.
Right, no question. But let me tell you something. And I say this with all sincerity. No one, this program has not had a shooter like you since you. And that's a long time. That's
Steve
14.
Kerr.
No, since you.
Oh, okay.
You okay, Steve?
I always put Steve Kerr at the top, and I'll never put myself ahead of Steve Kerr. And I'll always have to respect those who came before me. So I will definitely say that Steve Kerr is the best shooter I've seen.
Yeah, no question. In fact, Andre, I'm sure you saw this in his book, that you were the best shooter, one of the best shooters he's ever seen.
Yeah, and that meant a great deal to me. That was I'm not saying that he shouldn't have said it, but just the timing of everything, I did not expect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I come in and I tip my hat off to Andre, and I really respect him for that. It really made my heart feel warm.
It's probably not a surprise to you that he's had a fantastic career, a long one.
Oh, I already knew from day one that he was going to do what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
That was a given. It was just a matter of time with him.
Because of his athletic ability?
Star written.
Yeah.
That, stood out, but I always looked at how long he was, how he loved defense, how he did the intangibles, he's just a glue guy.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to have somebody like that on your team.
Right. Yeah, no question. As you look back, and as you probably look back a time or two, how would you rate your career?
Man, that's a tough question because I don't really think about it like that. I mean, it was what it was, and I've moved forward. I appreciate the love that I get, but
yeah,
I don't dwell on the past.
Right.
I have a beautiful son right now. He told me he wants me to start training him, so I'm looking forward to his future.
How old is he?
He's 8, and wow. He's a left-hander too. So,
of course, Damon,
excited.
Salim, now the kid. Cool. Hey, when I remember Salim Stoudemire, I remember huge shots. People talk about the Oklahoma State shot, and we'll talk about that. But my favorite shot that you hit was UCLA over Aflalo.
That meant a great deal to me because Coach O came to me because I was not playing up to par in the first half of that contest, and very politely and very, cordial. He was calm when he said this. He was like, Salim, you need to step it up. And just the way he came across is just the energy that he had and carried with him.
Right.
It just really lit that fire in me, and I wanted to go out and really do what he wanted me to do. And that was the result of it. Hit the last shot.
Did he have a look for you guys? Like, when you talk to your parents or your grandparents, they give you that look and you knew you were in trouble or you knew you had to step it up?
Absolutely. He would kind of, cross his arms and, give me that little stare like, hey, like, come on now. Like, I brought you here because you're a top guy, so you got to show the people that.
Right, right. In fact, he backed you to the nth degree when J.J. Redick and you were shooting it up a storm your senior years, and he said, there's no better shooter than Salim Stoudemire. How did you take that year? Because all he did is Dickie B didn't know what he was talking about. It was all about Salim.
I have to tip my hat off. And he got to see me every day. And he also got to see me for 4 years, which is rare nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
So he knows the type of work that I put in. And then obviously, it showed for itself. But I definitely praise him for that. And he had my back 100% and definitely helped me get drafted.
Mm-hmm. So I talked about the UCLA game, Aflalo. There was other ones as well. You could talk about those. But the Oklahoma State kind of was the shot that defined you, do you think?
Absolutely. And it was just the magnitude and, the stage and the setting. I mean, we were trying to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And any shot that is going to advance you to the next round and get you closer to that mission, I mean, that has to be the biggest shot.
Right, right. And then probably the biggest game outside of that because of the mission was the Kansas game over there. You guys were getting killed in the first half and you just blew them out in the second half.
Right. And that was an interesting contest because during halftime, and this is no knock on any of the upperclassmen at that point, but I just saw everybody's head down. And, just that positive energy was just, I don't know, it just wasn't in the locker room. So I'm like, somebody has to step up here and take the initiative and, try to propel us to a win.
You guys just blitzed them in the second half. This was at Kansas. It was unbelievable. Surprised even you?
I wasn't surprised because I knew we were that good. And it was just matter. It was just a matter of us being on the same page. You can always have a talented team, but you need synchronicity. Mm-hmm. You need synergy.
You were on two number one teams at the time. I think 2003, Luke. You had some fantastic teammates. Luke, Channing, absolutely. Andre, Hassan. God, your teams were loaded. How'd you like playing on those teams?
That 02-03 team, that's the best team I've ever been on. Like, we were stacked. And it's always good to play with great players because in practice you have to go against each other and you just kind of police each other and you make each other better.
Right, right. In 2005, the Chicago game, and I don't want to bring bad memories up, but we'll talk about it.
Go ahead.
The team is collapsing, yada, yada. You go into overtime, and we're in Rosemont watching you guys play, and you guys have the last shot. Okay, so everybody, there's 15,000 people in the stadium. 14,999 people know that there's only one dude's going to take this shot. And you don't take the shot. I've asked people on that floor who was supposed to take the shot. Some say you, some say Channing, and it ended up being Hassan. What happened?
The play was, we drew the play up for Hassan, and I can't, you know, negate it or say anything negative because Hassan was rolling, and you know, he was a key contributor. And the only thing I will say is I wish we had practiced that scenario more in practice so that he could have been comfortable in a live situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That whole situation.
And I would never have said, no, we're not doing that. Give me the ball. I would never, ever be that guy.
And
I
that's
had
two,
a lot of trust and I had a lot of faith.
And that's 2 days after you already had buried Oklahoma State.
It didn't matter because it was about the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever was rolling, I mean, obviously you want to go to the hot hand. So, and that was my roommate on the road. So I completely trusted Hassan.
Yeah.
But I just wish that we had more reps with him taking those kind of shots in practice so that we all could have been prepared and he would have been more comfortable.
Right. That was just a weird. Yeah, and Mustafa took a long time to get into the play. It was just really strange. You know what? That game also made, I think, Channing Frye a lot of money. It showed that he could be really good.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't have been mad if he would have took the last shot either.
Right.
Because I have total faith in Channing, and he can knock it down. I mean, he showed that in the NBA.
Right. Well, we just got a couple more minutes. I wanted to talk to you. Thank you for coming in for the Lute Olson camp. I know you're seeing him tonight. Today,
absolutely.
As he was helping coach some of the guys, did you have fun, at least day one?
I had a great time. I've already developed some friendships that I definitely feel will last forever. And I got a chance to see some alumni. So I'm definitely enjoying myself, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Yes, I was going to say, we put some video on you. You went stretches there, then people were filming him because he didn't miss. He would take 10 shots, he wouldn't miss. So Salim, after all these years, you haven't lost it. Now what?
I'm still trying to play, and I'm trying to put that out there to everyone. I can't control whether someone signs me. But what I can't control is me going to the gym every day and putting in the work in case someone does want to sign me.
Yeah, yeah. And I know from your videos that you post on Facebook and all that you continue to work your butt off. You look like in great shape. How much work do you put in day to day?
Whew, that's a tough one. I really don't look at the clock. It's just a matter of I set a goal. I accomplish it, then I'm satisfied and I leave the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm never looking at the clock saying, "Oh, I had this many hours." I don't work like that.
Right, right. You must take at least a few hundred shots. I'm being probably low on that number. But so do you go to the gym by yourself, or you have somebody rebounding for you? Because that's a lot of work.
I was always sometimes I do go with people, but I can't rely on them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody has something to do or they can't make it, I definitely go with myself. But as a youngin, I was always taught how to rebound and pass to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these, you know, kids need the gun, and, you know, if they're not using the gun, then they need a passer, then a rebounder. I was never taught that way. I was taught to get it in without anybody.
It was strange because I've seen you in college for a number of years and in your career so far. It's funny because the guys were saying, did Salim change his shot? Because now you have a different shot. I didn't notice, but did you
Absolutely.
Change your shot?
Well, originally, my shot, I pulled it back a little further than what everybody witnessed at Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But then coming up, I had a high school coach, and he tried to get me to change my shot. So I attempted to, and I tried that out, and it worked. And that's what I showed in college and, you know, in Atlanta. But now, since I'm comfortable in my own skin, being who I am and being a free-spirited individual, I've gone back to how I originally shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pulling the ball a little bit further behind my head so that people cannot block it.
Yeah, that's it's
growing
more,
up. I had a brother who was 6'4", so he would always get to my shot.
Right. That's the guy that played at Oregon, wasn't it?
He went to Georgetown first and then transferred to Oregon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember him.
I don't know why, but
got to go back home. Got to have that food back home. Hey, so
man,
I know you,
but Georgetown.
Oh, that's true. Well, I got to go to D.C.
Alonzo Mourning and Dikembe. Oh man.
Right. You should have stayed there.
Oh, man. You got open shots the whole time?
Yeah, well, kind of like you. And you'd hit them, too. Well,
absolutely.
How close are you to the program? Do you keep your eye on it?
Absolutely. And I pray that they turn things around. You know, it's been a little chaotic, but I know Sean. He's a great guy. And I just pray that everything turns around for him in the program because it's just too much tradition.
Right. Well, you guys continued it through the 2000s after the 88 Final Four, the 97 championship, and the 2000s were pretty fun to watch. I know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, have a good time tonight. I'll see you in the morning. Take care.
Definitely.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. I appreciate you coming on. Have a good night.
Absolutely.
Great. That was Salim Stoudemire, everybody, former U of A star on the hardwood. Never missed a shot, or so it seemed. Every time he shot it, you think it's going to go in. But let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Welcome to our final day of the week here on Friday afternoon. I like talking to Salim. Talked to him a long time today. He was out coaching with Matt Brazzi, was his coach or his co-coach on the team. Pete Williams, Joe Turner, Craig McMillan, Ben Davis, A.J. Bramlett. Who else? There was Donnell Harris. And I'm missing one. Oh, Brazzi, Ben Davis. I think that's all of them. There were like 10 of them. Tomorrow there should be more. A lot of fun. A lot of competition. A lot of fun times.
Was Coach O out there? Is he going to be stopping by over the weekend?
Yes. We hope so, yes. He routinely goes and watches the guys play for a day or so. So we're hoping he does. The guys are having dinner with him tonight.
What would be really cool is if he was up to coaching one of the teams, wouldn't it?
No, he's done with that. In fact, he likes watching the guys coach because they get really competitive and they, you know, get a little frustrated with the guys.
Well, maybe he could coach the coaches.
he did for a long time, but now it's just fun and games for him. He's getting to see the guys tonight. Anybody wants to call in, please do 520-790-2040. We could talk about Salim. We could talk about the good old days. That 2003 team was pretty stacked. They lost to Kansas in that Elite Eight game, I think it was, in Anaheim. Anaheim has been a booger for Arizona throughout the years. But I remember the game very well. Salim, Hassan, Andre, Luke, Channing, Isaiah Fox.
Isn't Anaheim where the Wisconsin three-pointers bombed them?
It was Anaheim has been the booger for, like I say, for a long, long time for Arizona. In fact, everyone says, oh, good, we don't have to go to L.A. We can go to somewhere else and play. And it doesn't work that way. And they have the home court advantage every time. Arizona contingent travels well, or they have alums in that area. So it just hasn't been good to them. It just hasn't. For some reason, it's just kind of like a hex on them or something.
destiny, Steve?
Destiny? No, I believe in that. That could be the case, too.
I know. That's why I said that.
On a number of levels, So we're going to wait about 10 minutes. We're going to talk to Jake Fisher here, former U of A linebacker back about 5-6 years ago, a local kid who's now doing well in the insurance business. We'll talk to him in a few minutes. But I like talking to Salim. I wanted to get a couple of guys, but they're always getting ready to go to go have dinner now.
So you've mentioned this dinner several times. Tell us about it.
They just go to have dinner with Luke, the players, and then we have them again tomorrow. We go to a restaurant and watch the game, watch tomorrow's night's game.
Okay, so they're going to be meeting someplace, some nice restaurant somewhere.
Yeah.
They're not going over to Coach O's house.
Yeah. We'll see.
Dinner with Luke.
We'll see. We'll see what they do. I'll know tomorrow. But a lot of fun today. A long day. I was actually playing basketball from 9:30 to about 3:15 around there. But a lot of dudes my age going to be sore tomorrow. A lot of this because they practiced, they got evaluated, and then they got drafted, and then they played games.
It sounds like Salim may not be so sore. It sounds like he keeps himself in pretty good
shape.
Oh,
yeah. No, he's a weed. I mean, I put something on my Facebook, and it was one of those. It looks horrible. It's like the Magruder, or what do you call it? The one for JFK?
Oh, the Magruder film?
The Magruder film, where it's very grainy. And
yeah.
When it transferred to my phone from the guy who shot it, mine looks horrible. I just seen it for the first time, and you can see the shadows of Salim not missing shots. But he did that twice because he was working out with Matt Brazzi, and he just picked up and everyone stopped and watched, and he would boom, boom, boom.
Was he shooting from outside?
Oh, he was everything three pointers. Yeah, nothing inside. And then he stopped, took a rest, and did it again, and did even better the next time.
Wow.
So yeah.
Cool.
I mean, if you shoot 100,000 shots or whatever shot, you're going to be good at it. It's like the golfer who has a bad swing but uses that swing 1,000 times or whatever number. That motor mechanics, you just kind of get in that groove. You know me. That's why I don't golf. That's why I don't shoot baskets. I can't get into that rhythm. It is what it is. But I know he joked and he was being very kind to Steve Kerr. There's two shooters in this. There's two shooters in the last 30 some years, and I can't speak to the Bob Elliott years because I'm told those guys were very good shooters. Herm Harris and some of those Cornelius Norman that were very good shooters. I did not see them play, but Kerr obviously a fantastic shooter. And then Salim, it's been 14 years since they've had a Salim. No one's even come close to that good shooter. Imagine how many games they would have won.
Well, Channing was supposed to be pretty good from outside.
Who?
Channing Frye?
He wasn't until he became in the NBA. He went to the NBA.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm thinking, I guess.
Yeah. He didn't have to play outside. He played near the middle. Obviously, he was a 7-foot center. But now in the NBA, that's what he is. And he told that story when he was with the Suns and he was out with his heart ailment. They said, you shoot outside very well. Why don't you just start practicing that and you'll become a better player, more all around. And guess what? Kept him in the league for the other 3-4 years.
Developed a three. Well, he already had it, apparently, and he just got better with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good for him.
Tells you what practice does.
Yes, sir.
Tells you what practice does. We'll talk football next 10 minutes, so I'm not going to really talk about it now. Anything else going on in the world of sports that you know of?
Well, let's see. The girls' soccer teams, they played yesterday?
What? No, they're playing tomorrow. They play They got canceled because of the lightning.
Oh, boy. Yesterday evening was pretty wild. It was like the good old days.
But light show. And I guess we were on the northwest side at our dinner. It didn't rain. It didn't rain at all. I mean,
I kept expecting it to come over there.
And it didn't come.
But it didn't come.
Yeah, just the lightning.
Yeah.
I'm sure it rained in other parts of the city, but not where we were.
Yeah.
Just it was a great light show.
Oh, yeah.
Had to cancel high school games because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do with the, of course, it's Friday night football, and this is a kickoff for the high school?
Yes, they play again tonight, so this is like the first full weekend of football.
And the girls' soccer team?
They canceled, so they're not going to
make it up?
They're going to make it up down the road.
Okay.
Or so they said.
Okay.
And then tomorrow they have the volleyball team from U of A as the red-blue game.
Okay.
So you can kind of sense that everything's kind of to start to roll around and the U of A is going to get in. So if you drive down Broadway or in that area, it's going
to
be a lot
of traffic. Can't find a place to park.
A lot of traffic. And if you park and you don't pay those parking things, you're going to be in trouble.
So do we know when the next girls' volleyball game is?
Volleyball
Arizona?
Or soccer?
I meant to say soccer.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't know. We can check that.
Okay. Yeah. Probably next week sometime.
Oh, yeah. Sure. They should be pretty good. They've been pretty good the last few years under Amato.
And the volleyball team,
oh, yeah?
They're ranked, I think, 25th
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
the top 25 rankings.
Yeah, I think they're number 24th. Did you see that Luke Walton, I don't know if he got acquitted, it's not the right word, cleared is, I guess, the right word, from the sexual assault case that he was accused of.
Oh, good.
They closed the case. I don't know what that means overall to the whole event, but I saw that we were actually at the gym when all this happened, maybe three, four hours ago, and said that the Kings and the NBA determined that based on available evidence, there was not sufficient basis to support the sexual assault allegations made by Kings head against Kings head coach Luke Walton.
Well, that's good. Good for him. Yeah, now he can concentrate on his head coaching duties.
Yeah, could you talk? Could you? Well, you know what? I can't talk. It's Jake Fisher. I'm wondering if he can call me. Maybe he wants to call. Why don't you give Jake a call and we'll see if we can get him on the phone because he just called me. Maybe he wants to talk right now because he has another. I knew he's a busy guy, so maybe he wanted to get on the show early. But good for Luke. I don't know if what that means overall, but now he can kind of move on with the rest of his life and be part of the Kings coaching staff and see what he does with that group. It's an up-and-coming team, there's no question. I've never thought he was not a good coach when he can deal with all the BS that he had to deal with LeBron and the Lakers over these years, and he did a great job at Golden State, obviously filling in for Steve Kerr. And anybody who says, well, if you have the talent, you can coach them. Not necessarily. It ain't easy coaching superstars. Because everybody wants to be the superstar. But I think he'll do a great job out in... Was he on the phone? Yeah, okay. That's what you want to... Hey, Jake, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Good that you just called because you probably said, let's do it right now.
Yeah. Well, you said 5:30 and I looked down and it was 3 minutes past. I was like, I got to get on the call.
Oh, okay, cool. No, that's no problem. Thanks for calling in. Hey, what are you up to these days? Fill in the listeners.
All right, so I'm an investment advisor representative, and I'm actually up in enemy territory right now. I'm in Tempe, Arizona. You know, it's a great spot to be. The only thing that, you know, kind of sucks is that you have a really bad university down the street. But other than that, you know, I love it up here. It's very fast-paced, which is what I was looking for. And, you know, obviously, even though we are up here, we're still diehard Wildcat supporters.
So I'm sure you wear your red and blue very proud and get heckled all the time.
Well, actually, it's funny. I have not been heckled so far, and I wear U of A gear almost every day. I have a bunch of U of A polos. I wear those out consistently. And I've actually gotten a couple beers bought for my girlfriend and I while being up here. So it's kind of funny because, you know, speckled all throughout Phoenix, you have pockets of U of A fans, and we seem to be a little bit closer on the same wavelength as opposed to the ASU fans.
Well, that's good. That's good. I can't remember. You must be there maybe half a year now?
So I was going back and forth for a while, and I moved up here permanently about 4 months ago. So I've been up here for 4 months.
Okay. Well, good for you. I know you're a go-getter, and you're probably killing it up there in addition to having an office down here still.
Yeah, we still have an office down there. My senior vice president is still down there, and I'm kind of, my girlfriend and I are doing a little bit of an expansion up here. So we're excited about it, though.
Great. So tell me, you're a big U of A fan. I know you're a great supporter. What is the team going through tonight as they prepare for tomorrow's game?
Well, you know, every coach and you know, every coaching staff, I guess, they have their own way of getting the guys prepared the night before. But, you know, really just to get down to some of the basics, it's, hey, get together. You're going to go over some last-second changes. And you really, there shouldn't be very many changes, but you know, whether or not they find out if somebody has an injury or whatever it might be. One last time, you go over the game plan, you watch a little bit more film, and then what they would allow us to do is kind of just have a little bit of time to ourselves. You know, you might watch one last, you know, team video or pump-up video or, you know, whatever it might be prior to going to bed. And, you know, the next day is just getting your head mentally, you know, prepared. I know that, you know, being in the Pac-12, a lot of times it's kind of rushed because you have such a late game time. And to be 100% honest with you, I don't even know what the game time is tomorrow. I'm going to find out and find a TV somewhere. But, you know, it's just about getting your mind right, having one last kind of sit down with your position coach to tie some loose ends together if you still do have some. And then you already know what to do because you've been practicing for it. And then just go out and fly around.
Have you paid attention to what's going on with the team this year?
I've paid a little bit of attention. Obviously, the hard thing is just getting in front of a computer or a television set or getting down to the campus or whatever, because, you know, we're busy as heck up here. But I've been following along a little bit. I like how some of the recruiting has been really plugging some of the holes that we've had the last couple of years in terms of depth on the offensive and defensive lines. I know that we've had a great running game the last few years, and when we provide a little bit more depth and size, I think that's just going to continue to roll. And, you know, we got some more athletes, and I like some of the recruiting that we're getting. You know, we're not getting these, you know, full-blown five-star guys, but it's funny because every time we get a recruit that's offered by a ton of big Division I programs, it seems like they automatically drop them down to a three-star for whatever reason. But, but that's okay, because the thing is, I saw some sort of ranking today where if you look at 4 and 5 stars on a current roster, I think we're tied for last in the Pac-12. But once again, the great thing is we're probably going to, you know, hopefully we'll finish in the top two in the South. But I know that Sumlin and those guys, I know that they're really good at coaching, a little bit of a different approach. But I like what we got this year.
Is it too much to say that a lot of it or most of it rides on Khalil?
Well, you know what? I think last year was really good for him. And the reason I think that is because, you know, the year prior to that, he couldn't do anything wrong. And, you know, he saw what he can do on the college level. And then last year, he had to sit back in the pocket and throw it a little bit because he was banged up. And this year, because he went through a little bit of a down period, even though his stats were pretty good, I think the fact that he knows what he can do with his feet and he can rely on his arm a little bit more, and he's 1 year into or 2 years now into the new system, you know, I think you're going to see him better than ever. He's not going to need to rush for 150 to 200 yards a game, but he's going to be able to use his legs now to kind of keep the defense honest, as opposed to the other defense sitting back man-to-man and rushing five or six people and him not being able to run. So I think you're going to see the best Khalil Tate you're seeing.
Well, I guess I haven't really heard of it that with that perspective. I get it. I totally get it. We'll see what happens. Well, let's assume for a second that he has a mediocre game, and I'm not saying that he will or what. Let's assume that for a second. Do you think that sets the table for what's ahead, or is just a mediocre game? And that said, well, let's say he has a great game. Do you think that establishes something too?
Well, you know, I haven't really been able to do a lot of tape on any of the opponents, but just going from, you know, kind of what I've seen being around the game and things of that nature, every game is its own entity. Like, every game is its own chess match. So, you know, this game, hey, if they have a good secondary, he might need to use his feet a little bit more, so his pass yards might not be up there, or he might tear apart the defense. Who knows? You know, I know that a lot of teams nowadays don't focus on the defensive end. I'm not worried so much about Khalil. I know that him being a senior, a lot of the younger guys are going to be looking up to him, and we have a lot of depth, you know, at the running back position to kind of alleviate that. And so if the running backs, in my opinion, I think that's going to be the engine that gets everything going, because if the running backs can get him into manageable positions where he doesn't have to go 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, I believe that's going to help him regardless. And then, of course, it all starts with the front. You know, I think the front, we've got some pretty good young guys on the, you know, on the offensive line. So it's every game's going to be different. I'm just excited to kind of see how he handles the pressure and handles the expectations, because last year expectations went through the roof, but with a new system, being banged up, not being able to run, coming off that year where he ran for, it seemed like, 1 million yards. Like, I swear, you know, I thought he was just going to run into the next season. You know, it humbled him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's going to kind of help his psyche a little bit, because now he's going to take every snap a little bit more serious than he was, which I'm not saying that he took it for granted, but you get to your senior year, it's like, hey, you know, this could be my last year. So I think just his mental makeup is going to take a, you know,
as far as we can go this year.
This is funny because I joked about it yesterday, maybe a day before, when I said that this is his free agent year to prove what he can do.
It's like his contract year.
Yeah, no, there's no question. So you kind of agree with me.
Yeah, and, you know, once again, the kid is a world-class athlete, you know. I mean, this young man runs like, you know, runs better than any quarterback that I've seen, you know, the last 15, 20 years, with the exception of, like, Lamar Jackson and those guys, right? Like, he's in the same class or the same echelon, just the running ability. But when it comes down to, you know, this year, if he can really prove that he can throw from the pocket, right, and he can complete those deep balls and he can extend plays with his leg and still throw, I think he'll get a good shot at the next level. It's guys coming out of college that they only run, and then passing is their secondary, you know, objective. Those are the guys that really don't get the kind of fair shake at the next level that they should. So I think, you know, the fact that someone wants him to pass a little bit more and then use his legs to kind of extend plays and pick up a, you know, a first down when he needs it, I think that type of system, as opposed to the last one, is going to help him get more looks at the next level.
Yeah, yeah. Let's switch to the defense because that's something you play it and you know very, very well. So Colin Schooler is kind of a mix between Scooby Wright and a guy named Jake Fisher, I think.
Well, he's, you know, he's closer to Scooby in terms of just, I mean, he's around the ball. It doesn't matter if, you know, it's a 50-yard bomb or if it's a, you know, a sweep or whatever the heck it is. But he creates havoc in the back end. But he's, I mean, he's smart, man. You see him dissecting plays on the fly. And usually the guys that have that kind of mentality, like a Scooby Wright, you know, like some of the other linebackers in the past, you know, that means that they have an actual love for the game and they study it. You know, they value, you know, the chess match that it is when you're the backer going against the quarterback and those guys that are making adjustments on the other side of the ball. So, I mean, I enjoy watching him play. I remember his first season when he was starting, when he was a freshman. And I remember watching a couple games and I was like, you know, this kid just came from high school and he's already, you know, scraping off the plays. He's already, you know, learning where to read, you know, against big-time Division I colleges. And I was like, you know, eventually, like, I became a pretty decent player. But, you know, I couldn't have done that as a freshman. And it just shows kind of where he came, you know, where he came from. You know, whether it's in high school, his coach is already running some sort of college-type defense, or, you know, someone was able to sit down with him and kind of show him some of those ropes and everything. And I had to learn kind of all of that right when I got to U of A. And the other thing was he got forced into actually having to play. You know, it was easy for me because I had four seniors that were linebackers ahead of me, really five. So I just had to worry about playing special teams. And so I got basically a year and a half to 2 years before, you know, of actual learning before I got thrown out on the field, which is nice. He had to go out and play right away. And, you know, he performed at a very high level at being, you know, his first year. So I was excited. I think him and a couple of the other young guys that have kind of been on and off the field the last couple of years that have gotten their feet wet, have experience, I think they're going to do really well.
Yeah, I would hate to ask you what your prediction will be, because I know what your prediction will be, but give it to me anyway.
Well, I don't have an exact score, but with it being the opening game, it's on, you know, it's across the damn ocean. It being in Hawaii, you know, those guys coming off a decent season by their standards, they're pumped up to get ready. So it'll be tough, I think, in the beginning, but I think that we're going to pull it off by 18. 18 points, that's kind of where I see it being. But, you know, like I said, I don't know what the score could be because both offenses can light it up, but at the same time, I think our defense is going to be, you know, it's going to be decent this year. Going against some of these teams that can score 50 a game, you can never really tell how good a defense is, but the fact of the matter is, I think we'll win by 18. It'll be tough in the first half, but I think we pull it out way.
Okay. Well, we'll hold you to that, and enjoy the game tomorrow. Be safe up in Tempe. I know you will be. No one's going to mess with Jake Fisher.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
Take care. Thank you for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
Yes, that was Jake Fisher, former U of A football player at U of A, not too long ago, maybe 5 years ago or so. Let's take a break here. I know we need to take one. We're about 8 minutes over on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. We have a short 8 minutes before we break at the hour. Anybody wants to call in, please do, 520-790-2040 here on 1030 The Voice. Talk real quick, talk a little football if you'd like. Next hour, we're going to have one of the frequent callers in my guest selection. Pancho has made his way from California, and he's going to sit in with me, his first foray with me. See how long he lasts within this den that I have.
How's he going to find the den? Does he have a Garmin or GPS or something to help him find his way?
Yes, I put Reese's pieces outside.
A trail of Reese's pizza.
Reese's pizza? What's that? The unmeltable ones. The unmeltable ones.
It's just, it rhymes. It sounds sounded good to me.
Reese's pizza.
It's a pizza with chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be a thing. I think they
we might have started something.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, we were talking about the Arizona women's soccer team and their next game, since they didn't play last night because of the lightning problems here. They're going to be at Sun Devil Soccer Stadium for their game against Weber State next Friday, a week from tonight.
Is it part of a soccer tournament?
Yes, it is. You want to tell us about it?
No, you tell me. You tell me.
I don't know. It's called the Sun Devil Desert Classic. I'm imagining it's something they probably do probably every year up there in Tempe. I know they do a softball classic up there every year that Arizona is usually involved in. But this is new to me.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. We'll get to that next week when they play.
Yeah, we'll find out more. Maybe we can get somebody from the team to stop by or call in or something.
I'll get maybe Coach Amato. I know that Chris DeSimone uses him on his show a lot because Chris is a big soccer guy and a former soccer coach. So we'll go there when we need to. This week, though, we'll talk about the big game. Big game because I think it's the, I know it's the season opener, but it's big because it is the season opener. And I'm not too sure, you know, I've been out a lot, kind of a lot. I know I've been doing this show for a while. Not too many people out there are all excited about it.
I think it's hard to put my finger on it, but from my perspective, we're hoping that the team is going to do better. We thought it was going to do better last season. New coach and everything. We probably should have given him a little space because it was new and the system's new to a lot of the guys. This year, he's been there. The guys have been with him for a season and a couple of summer and fall practices and a spring practice. So we're hopeful. But we still don't know what to make of the team yet. And it's going to take a game, like the game against Hawaii tomorrow night, for us to get a handle on, get a feel for what this team may be like this season.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. You'll get some type of feel for how good they're going to be, and then it goes away 2 weeks later when they play in NAU because that's just a false hope game. You beat them by 50, and then you say, oh, look, they're real good. And then you place Texas Tech at home. We'll see how good they're going to be with Texas Tech, no matter what happens with that.
Well, NAU is sort of like a preseason game. Give them an opportunity to get some of the other guys out on the field.
Right. In the real world, that would have been the first game on any other schedule. You play them, and then you play the rest.
But you're putting a lot into the Texas Tech game. What do you know about this year's team and their coaching staff?
I don't. I just know that historically they're a fairly decent team, and you're facing a better team than a New Mexico State or NAU or probably a Hawaii.
Now their head coach and staff are fairly new.
No, they're all new. That head coach is coaching at the Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't take too much stock in it. Everybody was high. You know, this is kind of...
Well, I don't know how long, you know, his staff has been a unit in the past.
Well, let me say this. Compared to last year, everybody had high hopes with Sumlin coming here. First-year coach, right? Why would everybody have high hopes for Sumlin when they're not having high hopes for somebody else as a first-year coach somewhere else? Does that make sense?
It does, and I think you're right. We need, as fans, to give the new coach and staff some slack for the first season, for crying out loud, because everything's new and it's new to them, it's new to the players, new system, blah blah blah. Let them get one season under their belt, and then we'll see.
That's what I was going to ask you. So how long is it when it's no longer new?
Well, we're expecting them to do better. I don't think we're looking at a bowl season.
You don't?
Although it's easier to get into a bowl than it used to be.
Yeah, six wins.
But I think we're looking for Sumlin to establish himself and his coaching staff, and for the team to have brought in enough recruits to develop the players that he needs. It's probably going to be next season where we can expect to see what this team is all about.
Sometimes you don't get next seasons if you don't take care of this season.
I know.
And I'm not saying
that. But this is only a second season.
No, I totally get that. And I'm not saying anything would happen if it doesn't do really well, although who knows, it could happen. I don't know. No, in today's climate where you're as good as your last haircut, we'll see. I know he's making a lot of money.
Well, it takes money to get a good coach and coaching staff. You got to pay them too, you know.
Right. Well, and this is isn't this a stepping stone job? We've always said this.
Well, Rich Rod didn't step anywhere, except maybe in it.
Yeah, no question. That may have been the funniest line you've had since I've known you.
Oh, well, thank you, Steve.
I didn't even set
you
up for that.
Thank you for paying attention for once.
Well, it is Steve 100, Tom 1. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir, boss. I salute.
As you should, sir. As you should. As long as I don't step in it.
There you go.
Hey, let's take a break.
That's
here
my job, time. To try to keep you from...
Keep you from stepping
That's
in.
That's right.
Thank you very much. You do that well. Push that little that button when I need
that. That's what that
curse.
Button is yeah, for yeah, right there. Right. Yeah.
Let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice. Trust your local news and talk. Come back on the other side and talk to Poncho for a while.